For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments. Give me 1 second. We've been doing some sound adjusting, and I can hear my monitor, so I just flipped them off really quick. And we've been talking about the Ten Commandments not so much, and that they, yes, they are commands. God has said, you should do these things. But it's more so for us, they're principles for life. Where God is saying, you know, if you will follow these in your life, you're going to have a better relationship with me. You're going to have a better relationship with the people around you. And so do this. And so the first four commandments that we talked about, we're on the fourth commandment today, is about our relationship with God. If you will follow these within your life, if you follow these principles, if you'll apply them to you, you're going to know me better as God. Not just as God, but as your father, as your friend, you know, as your provider, so many different things. And then the other six talk about our relationships with one another. So today we are on the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. Now, before I even get into this, I want to start with this. When I disagree with something I read in the Bible, my first thought is, obviously there's something wrong with me. And that's how it should be. I'm going to get on a minor soapbox just for a moment. You can go anywhere and get somebody to tell you what you want to hear. Well, I don't believe in tithing because so-and-so said this. That's Old Testament. And so we can get what we want to hear. Well, I don't have to do this. Well, I can do this in my life because so-and-so said so. You can go anywhere and find someone to say what you want them to say to you. But the Bible is truth. And I found for myself, when I don't agree with something, when something strikes me, it's like, oh, I don't like that. The problem's here. It's not God. It's not His word. It's me. And change needs to take place in my life. Okay, that's aside. Number four, the Sabbath. This commandment has more words and more time spent on it than any other commandment. Isn't that crazy? But with that, okay, let's just read it, and then I'll get into it. Verse 8, so Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, it says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for you to do ordinary work. I underline that for a reason. I mean, think about that. God is saying to Moses, hey, I've given you 6 days to work. Now you have a Sabbath. Verse 10, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners that live among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. We don't do or follow the Ten Commandments because we have to do it. It's not because I told you to do it, so do it. We follow the Ten Commandments because we want our lives to be blessed. Amen. That's the whole purpose of it. Now, you can go all through the Bible and different things like, oh, we have to do this. But God wants to bless our lives. These are principles. He says, if you will follow this, your life will be good. And this includes the Sabbath. But you know, it seems like a lot of Christians, most Christians, we're really good, or at least we pay attention to 9 of the 10 commandments. Right? Am I right? Okay. Honor God. Have no graven images or idols. You know, be nice to my parents. Don't kill anybody.
Don't lie.
Don't lie. Don't steal. Help me out here. Don't swear. Don't covet. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. All these things. But when it comes to the Sabbath, they're like, oh, you don't have to do that. That's Old Testament. We're not that kind of church. I don't know about that. Why is it that we think that this is the one command that we don't have to keep? And now you're hearing, the pastor's going to tell me why I need to be in church every Sunday. It's not even that. The Sabbath is a day of rest. It is important that you let your body rest. God gave us this commandment for us, for our benefit. Not to have to serve, but in order to have something that is serving us in our lives. So, 3 points this morning. Number one, there are reasons God said to rest. There's reasons. He just doesn't say things for no reason. He wants us to rest for reasons. And two are these. So you'll see in your notes, there's two sub-points. Number one is this. It gives God the opportunity to provide for us supernaturally. And this is a principle all throughout the Bible. God wants to provide for us. He wants to see Him actively at work in our lives. And by taking a Sabbath, by recognizing the Sabbath, we are saying, God, I will allow You to supernaturally work on my behalf. And He did this in Exodus as well. Look at Exodus chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. It says, He told them, this is what the Lord God commands. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake and boil as much as you want today. That's food. We'll get in that in a moment. And set aside what is left for tomorrow. Okay, so here's the thing. If you know anything about the book of Exodus, every single day God provided manna for them to eat. They're travelers. They're going through this wilderness area. They didn't have food. So God said, okay, I'm going to miraculously provide for you this stuff called manna. And every day you go out, you get enough for you and your family. You bring it back, you bake it, you do all this stuff, and you have food every single day. So every single day you go out and get this. But on the sixth day, get a double portion so that you don't have to go out and collect it on the seventh day, which will be the Sabbath. Okay. So they put some aside until morning, just as Moses had commanded, and in the morning the leftover food was wholesome and good, without maggots or odor. I think, okay, why would there be maggots or odor? That's disgusting. Here's why. Because there were those people that thought, you know what, I don't want to have to go out every single day and get manna. Why can't I just go get a week's supply right now? There's plenty of it out there. And then I'll have enough for all week, and I don't have to go out with everybody else. And so there were actually people that would go out and scrape up all this manna and say, I've got a 3-day supply. And so they'd make enough for the morning and for the day. They'd come the next morning to see their leftovers, and it'd be spoiled and ruined. I'm like, oh. And God's like, I told you to go out every day. And the reason for that was this. God was their provider. He wanted them to go out every day and say, you know what? Look, I am miraculously, supernaturally providing for you. But on the Sabbath day, I'm going to show you how I can even provide for you in your time of rest. So when they kept more than what they needed, they were showing that they did not trust God for their next day. There, you could preach that in itself. I mean, think about this. I mean, we talk about how the Word of God is, you know, like our daily bread. It's kind of like our manna. And so many of us, we come to church once a week, we read our Bible once a week or every 3 or 4 days, and we think that's enough to make us last throughout the whole week. You know, the same principle here. Let's keep going. Exodus 16:25. Moses said, eat this food today, for today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. So there are people that actually go out and try to get food on the Sabbath, and there's nothing there. You may gather the food for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground on that day. Some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day, but they found no food. The Lord asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? They must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That's the key. Underline that. The Sabbath is God's gift to you. It's a cool thing. Where was I at? That is why he gives you a 2-day supply on the sixth day. So there will be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must each stay in your place. Do not go out and pick up food on the seventh day. Here's what I get from all of this. God is saying, I am not going to provide for you on the seventh day. If you're going to go out and work on a day when you're going to rest, you're on your own. I'm not going to provide for you when you disobey what I have planned for you. I'm giving you the chance to rest. I'm giving you this gift of rest. And if you want to go out on your own and do this, then that's not going to be blessed. That's what he's telling the children of Israel here. He will provide enough on the sixth day to make up for that which is needed on the seventh. Why do we have a Sabbath? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, it says, remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out of with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. You see, there are two types of people. Actually, there's a number of people, types of people in the world. But in their time, there was those who worked 7 days a week and then those who didn't have to. The people who worked every single day were slaves. Before they were released and freed from the bondage of Egypt, Israelites worked every single day of the week, 7 days, in and out, from morning to night. They worked. And God is saying, you're not slaves anymore. I've taken you out of bondage and brought you into a place of freedom. So now you can rest. You can rest like royalty rest, or the elite are going to rest, or those who have enough wealth they can afford to rest. I'm telling you, I will provide for you so that you may rest on the seventh day. This is my gift to you. A gift of rest. They weren't slaves anymore. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're not a slave to sin anymore. You are a son or a daughter of God. You are royalty, and you have a gift and a right to rest in your life. This is a principle that will draw you closer to God. It'll better your life. It'll better your relationships with your family. It'll show you how God can provide for you supernaturally when you honor the Sabbath. One day a week, you are free. Now, I'll be honest. I'm preaching this. I am so much preaching to myself here. And this is such a hard thing for me to do, is to not do things. To not think about what I have to get done and do it when I feel like I have time. God is saying, I will provide for you. I'm giving you a gift of rest. And in that time, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to take care of you. And what you have to get done next week, it's going to be there when you get ready to start. And it's going to be okay. It's like tithing, but with our rest. I mean, I tell you guys all the time, you know, in tithing we believe that we give God the first 10% of our produce, of what we make, our money. And I'll say, why is it that we think we can do more with 100% of our income than God can do with 90% of our income? Well, it's a no-brainer, we can't. So I can try to do something 100% of my own, or I can honor God and give him the first 10% and believe he'll bless the rest of what I have. Now the same thing with the Sabbath. Why is it that I think I can get more done in 7 days on my own strength than God can do through me and for me in 6 days and prepare for the next week? Why would I forego a blessing and a gift of rest that he has for me as he's working on my behalf and providing for me and say, no, I can do it on my own, God, I don't need your help. That is what we're doing when we are not honoring a Sabbath rest in our lives. Here's the second part to this first point. It gives us a chance to rest and be refreshed. So, had a horrible week sleeping. Have girls that aren't wanting to sleep and stuff like that. And just, it's been crazy. And Friday, I think it was Friday. I don't even know what the date. Is today Sunday? I'm assuming it must be. You're here, so it must be Sunday. I think it was Friday. I was trying to work on stuff, and I was no good at all. And I told Chris, and Russ is here working, I said, I got to go home and take a nap. I am no good to anybody. I'm worn out. I can't think straight. I just have to go rest. And I was resting with the intent of being refreshed so I could refocus on what I needed to get done. So a Sabbath is that. It gives us a chance to rest and refresh. Every single week, you need a time where you can just stop, relax, and rest. Look at Exodus chapter 31, verses 14 through 17. It says, you must keep the Sabbath day, for it is a holy day for you. Look at that. It didn't say it's a holy day for God. This is a holy day for you. And what does holy mean? Set apart. This is a day where it is set apart just for you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Anyone who works on that day will be cut off from the community. I'm going to stop there for just a moment. Honestly, as I was going through this, so many things are coming to my mind. I know so many people that, and again, don't equate a church service with your Sabbath. Church service is a part of this, and I'll get into this in a moment. But I know so many people that feel like, man, I don't know what's going on. Well, you're never here. How do you expect to be connected with others if you don't honor your Sabbath and join with other people to see what's going on? Amen. It says they'll be cut off from the community. If you don't honor the Sabbath, and part of that is part of worshiping with other believers, you're cut off from the community. You cut yourself off. Okay, back on track. Verse 15. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day must be a Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. Anyone who works on the Sabbath must be put to death. The people of Israel must keep the Sabbath day by observing it from generation to generation. This is a covenant obligation for all time. I want to stop there again. This is what I had a conversation with a guy just this past week about the Sabbath, actually. It's crazy. And his exact words were this. He goes, well, that's Old Testament. It doesn't apply to me now. Well, it says right here, this is a covenant obligation for all time. Now, I want to add this as well. What if you were to say one thing about God, I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of answers here, but I'll give you multiple choice. Which word best describes God? Eternal or temporary? Eternal. So we talked about last week about the name of God, how it says he's the God that was, the God that is, and the God that will be. He's eternal. So that's his nature, that's his character, that God is eternal. So God doesn't do things outside of his character. So when we read things in the Bible, he has principles that are not temporary principles, but principles that are eternal. This is why we can take things from the Old Testament and apply them to the New Testament life, because these principles are eternal principles. That's why we can say tithing is not just an Old Testament thing, but a New Testament thing. We can say the Sabbath is a New Testament thing as well as Old Testament, because it's an eternal principle between us and God and rest and how he made us. I know that's a lot to say, but that is it. Okay, verse 17. It is a permanent sign. Okay, I have to stop again. Observe, generation to generation. It's a covenant obligation for all time. It is permanent. Three times, he's showing. This doesn't change. With the people of Israel, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he stopped working and was refreshed. Again, I'm going to stop again. Well, we're not Israel. Galatians says very clearly that we are sons and daughters of Abraham, that we are adopted into the family of God. So whether you're Israeli or not, you're a child of God, and that also puts you under the umbrella of being of this covenant, of this Sabbath command. It is for you. It is for me. All of that to say this, look at that. For 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day, he stopped working and was refreshed. I read that, and it completely confused me. If you know anything about God, what God is omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent. All that to say is this, that he is everywhere, he knows all things, and he's all powerful. So if God is omnipotent, all powerful, why would someone who never runs out of juice need to be refreshed? He's all powerful. It never ends. But yet the Bible says very clearly that after creating the world, he had to, that he chose to rest, and in his rest, he was refreshed. Think about that for a few minutes, and I'll get to it in a moment. Israel was told, take a break. Work for 6 days, rest on the seventh. Nobody else in their time did this. Nobody took a day of rest. They were the only people group that rested for a day during the week. And this is actually one of the greatest testaments of God, and it showed others that their God was different, and their God was the God of all gods, and their God cared about them. I mean, think about this. Okay, they're on their way to the promised land, and there's this Hittite, Moabite, Amorite person over here who says, hey, you know what? I've got this great deal. Meet me on Saturday, and we'll go and get what we need, and we're going to make so much money off this. And the Israelite would say, sorry, can't do it. I rest on that day. And they're like, what? But Saturday is the only day that I can make this work. Well, I'm going to have to go without it then. Because I honor God on this day. Honor your God. Your God has given you rest. And so the very fact that they were honoring the Sabbath and not working for themselves in that time showed others how important God was in their lives. Anybody here like Chick-fil-A? Does anybody here not know what Chick-fil-A is? Okay, well, it's a fast food restaurant. We have them now in the Northwest. There's one in Tacoma. by the mall. There's one in Clackamas Town Center, right across from the mall. There's one in Bellevue on, I don't know what exit it is, but it's downtown Bellevue. There's one in Linwood. So Chick-fil-A is this place where my wife worked through high school. It's a chicken restaurant. All they serve is chicken. They even serve chicken in the morning. And the comedian we listened to a couple weeks ago, he said, this place gives you a chicken breast with a fried egg in a breakfast sandwich. I mean, it's the only place where you eat the mom and its offspring in the same bite. And so it's kind of twisted. But everything they have is chicken, okay? You ever think about that? I mean, a chicken and egg biscuit? That's just a weird Southern thing, but okay. So Chick-fil-A, here's some cool things about Chick-fil-A. The man who started Chick-fil-A was a Christian. And when he started this company years and years and years and years and years ago, he said, we will not work on Sunday. That's God's day. And so my wife got a job there because her dad didn't want to work it on Sunday, so there's one place where she could work and not have to go to, you know, work on Sunday but still come to church. So anyways, I was reading something about fast food restaurants. I have this harebrained idea that's never going to happen, but I've thought about it. I'd love to put a Dairy Queen in Mossy Rock. You know, just something. Do you remember a couple years ago, like 5 years ago, when there was that sign across the street that said McDonald's coming soon? Talk about it, and it was on April Fool's. And man, I called the mayor before Randall was, and I said, hey, there's a McDonald's coming. He's like, well, I saw this sign too, but I don't know. I was like, and I'm thinking all this great stuff that comes in Mossy Rock and Big Macs three or four times a day, and I mean a week. All this stuff taking place, and I'm as excited about McDonald's. So anyways, it was a hoax. Some kid spray painted the sign, but it looks so real. Did you do it? Your husband did that? That was the biggest letdown of my life. Not having McDonald's in Mossy Rock. So anyways, I've thought a lot about, fast food. But it's actually kind of a risky business. I mean, I think it was saying that the average, if I remember what I was reading right, the average fast food chain, whether it's McDonald's, Burger King, Arby's, Taco Bell, I mean, Taco Time, they bring in about $1 million of revenue yearly, annually. This is working, 7 days a week, sometimes 24 hours a day for some. I mean, some of them at least have their drive-thrus up until midnight. But then there's Chick-fil-A, who closes on Sunday, and Sunday was considered to be, I mean, for fast food chains, the most profitable day of the week, because all these lazy Christians go out and eat fast food after church on Sunday, and so they want to make that money off of us. But anyways, so $1 million a year's annual income revenue coming into a fast food restaurant. 7 days a week, often 12 to 14 hours a day. Chick-fil-A, I'm not sure what time they open, but they close at a reasonable time, and they're closed on Sundays. The annual reports for Chick-fil-A's, their restaurants bring in five times as much, over $5.4 million per restaurant. Five times greater than the ones that are open 7 days a week because they honor a day of rest. There's something there. Okay. That was not even in my notes whatsoever. Sabbath is the greatest day. Okay, that. So it says that God was refreshed when he rested after creating the world. So I looked at this word refreshed. In the Hebrew, it's called nifal, and it means to draw breath and be refreshed. Now think about this for a moment. This is omnipotent God that is refreshed after creation. How does God create? The Bible says that he spoke the world into existence. When you speak, you exhale. Breath goes out. So for 6 days, God was speaking forth his creation. And on the seventh day, he stopped and he drew breath in and he was refreshed. That's how God was refreshed. I thought that was cool. For 6 days, God created. God spoke. He breathed out. And God was refreshed. He refreshed himself when he drew breath in. The Sabbath is a day that God gives us to rest and relax. So again, there's a lot of things that are Jewish customs and rituals and things that they do that I've never done, really. You know, Passover, one of them, known about it, but I've never gone through it. The same thing, so I started looking up the Sabbath. Now, the Hebrews, or the Israelites, they call it the Shabbat. And I'm not even saying it right. There's an H somewhere like, but let's say Shabbat. And so I looked it up, and here's what it is. This is the quickie version. It's a weekly 25-hour observance from just before sundown each Friday through the completion of nightfall on Saturday. Shabbat is more than just a day off from labor. It is a day of physical and spiritual delights that is meant to illuminate certain key concepts of the Jewish tradition, or traditional Jewish perceptions of the world. Now, I'll get more into like, oh, so we're doing this wrong? You mean we should be doing this started on Friday? I'll get to that in a moment. A few more things. Shabbat is portrayed in the Bible as the pinnacle of the creation of the universe. Think about that. The Sabbath, I mean, this is the pinnacle of creation, is when God rested. And its observance can be seen as a reminder of the purposefulness of the world and the role of human beings in it. Shabbat also serves as a memorial to God's act of rescuing the Israelites from slavery in Egypt by setting aside a day for personal autonomy and freedom from the harsh demands of labor. The traditional Shabbat is portrayed in Jewish liturgy, song, and story as a day of joy, a sanctuary from travails, and even a foretaste of the perfected world that will someday be attained. Who wouldn't want to have that in their lives every week? Again, my whole life I grew up and I read this verse, you know, this command, keep the holy day Sabbath, observe the Sabbath. And I thought, go to church on Sunday. That's what I heard. Go to church on Sunday. But it's not just, it's taking a day to honor God. This is part of it. But it's also giving yourself a chance to relax and rest and let God refresh us. Second point, there are consequences when we do not rest. Numbers chapter 15, verse 32 through 36 says, one day, while the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they discovered a man gathering wood on the Sabbath day. The people who found him doing this took him before Moses, Aaron, and the rest of the community. They held him in custody because they did not know what to do with him. Then the Lord said to Moses, the man must be put to death. The whole community must stone him outside the camp. So the whole community took the man outside the camp, stoned him to death, just as the Lord had commanded them. Wow.
Yeah. Come on.
You're killed for picking up sticks on the wrong day. That's pretty serious, isn't it?
It is.
You realize that there's only four reasons for someone to be put to death in this time. If you were a murderer, if you didn't keep the Sabbath, if you were an adulterer, or if you were a rebellious child. Pretty serious. Four reasons. So why is the Sabbath on this list? Why is it so bad to work? You know? As I've been saying through the last couple of weeks, there's a principle behind every command. There's something that God wants to teach us that applies to our life. Not just do it because you're told to do it, but because it'll enhance and better our lives. Why we shouldn't work. Let me ask you this. I mean, again, maybe we need to start doing this. Get a list. So-and-so wasn't here. Were they working? Let's go. It's not really a church growth plan, because I think that it'd be bad. But again, look at it in light of today. Have you ever heard the phrase, work yourself to death? Did someone say no? Yeah, that's all right. I mean, I'm just working myself ragged. I'm working myself to death. This is literally what this guy did. He didn't trust God. He didn't respect what was said for him. He rejected the gift God had given him. He's like, I can work. I'll just work more. And he literally worked himself to death. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verses 20 and 21. It says, a few who survived. Okay, so this is, if you know anything about Bible history, there was a time where the Israelites were sent into exile, into Babylon and the, you know, Persian Empire, all that kind of stuff. And God put them into exile. So this is what this is talking about here. It says, the few who survived were taken as exiles to Babylon. They became servants to the king and his sons until the kingdom of Persia came into power. So the message of the Lord spoken through Jeremiah was fulfilled. The land finally enjoyed its Sabbath rest, lying desolate until the 70 years are fulfilled, just as the prophet has said. So thinking, okay, what's this all about? So if you go through the law and what God had commanded and how he wanted them to live their lives, he said, you know what? Work the land for 6 years, and then on the seventh year, let the land rest. And then till it up again on the eighth year. So again, it's an agricultural society. So they tilled the land, they grew their wheat, they had their sheep and their goats on it, and they worked the land. The land was used a lot. But God said, okay, do that for 6 years, but on the seventh year, let the land rest. And that way it'd be good again for the eighth year. Well, maybe they followed it for a little bit of time, but all of a sudden they said, you know what, man, I got to use this land. I've got too many sheep. I need more grazing pasture. Supply and demand. I mean, I have to make more wheat. God will understand. And so I'm going to use this ground. I'm not going to let it go fallow for a year. I'm going to use it. And so they did this, and they did this, and they did this. The Bible says they actually did it for 490 years that they did not let the land rest, but they worked it every single year. And so when they were sent into exile, the Bible says Jeremiah had prophesied, you will go into exile for 70 years. Am I right? So that's 70 years, so was it more than that? 70 years. Yeah. For 70 Sabbaths. 490 divided by 70 is 70. So there were 70 Sabbaths that they did not let the land rest. And so God said, if you're not going to listen to me, I will get you out of the land and force you to let the land rest. And so until they had repaid the Sabbaths of the land, they were taken out of the land. If God cares that much about land, don't we think that he should even care, that he cares more so about us? Amen. And what we honor and what we do with what he has given us? Again, there is a truth to the phrase of working yourself to death. The Sabbath, it's a good gift from God. It's given rest for us. So here's the third point. There are blessings when you rest. Look at Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through 28. It says, one Sabbath day as Jesus was walking through the grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? Jesus said to them, haven't you ever read in the scriptures that David did what David did when he was and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions. Verse 27 is the focus. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. Amen. So to honor and observe a Sabbath, it's not about legalism. It's the principle. It's not the letter of the law is not the issue, it's a heart issue. It's honoring God. Now here's the thing with that. When I say it's not a matter of legalism, now Jewish custom was, you know, Sabbath begins on Friday night and goes all the way through Saturday. Well, that may work. And you say, well, so if we don't start doing this on Friday night and go through Saturday, we are not honoring the Sabbath. I'm not saying that. It's not about being legalistic. It's about taking a day and honoring God and resting. That is what it's about. Your body needs rest. You can't just keep on going and never stop. I was talking to Avery the other day. She's been having a struggle sleeping. She goes, I didn't sleep at all last night. I said, no, that's not true. You slept. I said, because you were up all day. You're not going to stay up for 24 hours. Not yet. Oh, I'm not looking forward to junior high. I said, if you had stayed up all night, you would have fallen asleep at some point during the day. Because your body is not made to just not go to sleep and not rest. And she couldn't comprehend that. I said, no, trust me, Avery, you slept last night. You just don't remember falling asleep or waking up. You slept. We're not made to just keep on going and keep on going and keep on going. We are made to rest. That's right. And that's the principle of the command. God worked for 6 days. He rested on the seventh. He has given us a day that we should rest and take it easy, refresh ourselves, enjoy times with other believers in our family, honor God, read the Bible, sing songs together, eat meals together, and rest. It doesn't mean you don't work, per se. I mean, honestly, when I take my time, my day off is really my Sabbath day. And for that, for me, is I don't do church work. Now, this is where I break again. I'm working on this. I'm convicted about the Sabbath. Because it's so easy to open up my emails and start answering emails or prayer requests or this or that. But reality is, there needs to be 25 hours where I don't do that. So maybe you work at the school. Okay, the school will live for 24 hours. Maybe you can go split a cord of wood or, you know, mow the lawn. It's not that you just don't do any work. It's that which drains your life 6 days of the week that you just don't do that for a day. Because for me, honestly, I do a lot of office work. I mean, besides building churches, there's not a lot of manual labor for pastors. For me, mowing the lawn is therapeutic.
That's right. Yes.
And it takes place on that day of rest for me. I like splitting my wood. Just so you know. I said that purposefully because like, oh, like, come split my wood, Pastor. No. I like washing my car. You know? For me, that's part of my rest. And I take time and read my Bible and pray and talk to God and just enjoy that time and refresh myself. Do you do that? Let me think of this for a moment. God created the 7 day week. Had he wanted to, he could have had a 6 day week. And we could just work. But God gave us that seventh day. Because he wants us to have the gift of rest in our lives. Again, your Sabbath is not about what I do. It's really about what you don't do. But if you're in your Sabbath and all you can think of is the demands of the week coming up, like, oh, I better get a jump start on it right now and start doing it now, you're not honoring the Sabbath. You're just working and you're not trusting God. It's about trusting the Lord that he will provide for you and that he's given you a gift of rest so that you have a good life. It's a principle. You and I owe ourselves the Sabbath. When you work and you work and you work, you need to rest. I need to rest. And here's what really convicted me the most. As I was, you know, I said in the beginning of this message, when I read something in the Bible that I don't like or that I'm not doing, the problem's with me. It's not the Bible, it's me. And as I was getting ready to, I mean, again, I knew it was the fourth command. I turned to it this week. I'm getting ready to prepare for it. I'm like, I don't like this. Well, God, I work on Sundays. I'm the pastor. I understand taking a different time to rest and refresh. But the only reason I would not take a Sabbath or take a half-day Sabbath or whatever little rationalization I put in place is because I don't trust God. Come on. I don't trust what he says to be true. Or that he'll do what he says he'll do. The only reason I don't tithe, if I don't tithe, is because I don't trust God with my money. The only reason I don't follow the commands is because I don't trust him with that. And God said this to me, I mean, Lord, I don't have time to take a Sabbath. Well, I can pick and choose. And he goes, well, then why don't you just go commit adultery for that sake? Go kill somebody. Go steal. Well, God, those are bad. And he's like, and you don't think not taking a Sabbath is bad? Go profane my name. Why don't you? Well, God, that's a command. He's like, so is the Sabbath. Why is it okay to follow 9 and neglect 1? It's not. So saying all of that is to say this. Are you honoring God by observing the Sabbath day? I would say for most of us, for most of you anyways, the best day for you to observe the Sabbath is the same day where you come together with other believers And you're already doing that part.
Yes.
So you take your Sunday and you dedicate it to God. And you join other believers and you dedicate this time to God and you worship together and you hear the word of God and you grow together. And then you go home and enjoy the rest of the day resting with your family. Maybe taking a nap or going for a hike, playing a game, having family time, coming together as a family and looking at the word of God. Amen. Telling your kids about why it's important. But I think it's worth your time and my time to maybe dig in a little bit deeper into what this Shabbat thing is and maybe take some of the principles and elements of it and say, you know what, as a family, as a person, I need this in my life because God said it's important. And if I'm willing to break this, then why don't I just break the rest of them? Again, I'm not asking you to be legalistic about it, but what's the heart behind this principle? God has given you and I a gift of rest. And we'd be foolish not to take advantage of it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word, even when I don't like to hear it. Lord, I ask that you would help me and others with this command of just taking a break and resting, allowing ourselves to be refreshed. Lord, I ask that you just help us in this area where we obviously don't trust you. Lord, we trust you with our salvation, but we can't trust you with our weekly planning. God, if there's areas of our lives where we've just been poor at planning and we get ourselves at the end of the week and we have to get it done, Lord, help us to repent of this. And that we can honor you by enjoying the gift of rest that you have provided for us. Lord, help us to apply this to our lives the same way we do the other commands. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.